Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
We have completed, ladies and gentlemen, five of the 82 games that the Memphis Grizzlies are guaranteed in the 2015-2016 NBA season. This campaign that Memphis is currently on, and it does have that feeling of a war kind of campaign. Now that they are on the West Coast swing, arguably their toughest trip of the 2015-2016 season, it was the best of times and the worst of times. It's a great way to kind of look at these past five games. Memphis, in three games, looked the part of a team that's beating teams that they're supposed to beat. And then for a couple of games there, it was really, really, really bad. And I'm sure we'll get to that and a heck of a lot more on this installment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much, wherever you are, whenever you're listening, for joining us. I am joined here, as always, by my producer of GBB Live. He's doing an excellent job. We were just talking about how he's a few shows in. He's got his feet wet now. Matty B, Mr. Matt Bishop, you're starting to get your sea legs, my friend.
Yeah, I'm starting to. It's positive that we're three episodes in and we haven't been canceled from the internet, so that's good. It's good.
The internet has not canceled us. That is a fact. We are still here. Blog Talk Radio, the kind folks, I get emails from them every once in a while. We're still good. We're still okay. No cancellations as of yet, Maddie. I'm very appreciative of you joining me, as always, here on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves. And in this first segment, of course, we are joined by the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. The reason that we are here in terms of blogger employment, his name is Chris Faulkner. And Chris, speaking of you being my boss, our boss, I would just like to say that you sound very handsome tonight.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. I'm in handsome company as well. Both of you guys sound fantastic. And I want to go ahead and say I'll re-up GBB Live for a whole nother season.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen what's going to go on this season.
Yeah.
We'll ink it to another one, man. Yeah.
Season four, I'm excited. I'm already looking forward to having another season of GBB Live. And as I get the brown off of my nose, I would like to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, of how you can get in touch with the program. You can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. Once again, at GBB Live on Twitter is an excellent way to communicate with the program, whether you're listening to the live show on this Wednesday night or whether you're listening to the archive podcast, either on Blog Talk Radio, on the blog itself, grizzlybearblues.com, or on iTunes, however you're consuming the show. We want you to interact with us. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. You can follow our producer, Mr. Matt Bishop, at The Amazing Matty B. Just making sure that's still you, Amazing Matty B. You like to change it? Yeah, you're. I am the Zenguin right now. I'll ask you about that later.
I am a Zenguin these days.
You're a Zenguin these days, but you're at The Amazing Matty B is the handle, and you can follow managing editor Chris Faulkner at Faulkner Memphis. The chat room is also live right now, ladies and gentlemen. You can go into the chat, talk with us there. I moderate the chat. If you have a question for myself, Matty B, Chris Faulkner, any of our guests this evening, we are more than happy to take those questions there as well. Please interact with us. We want you to be a part of the Grizzly Bear Blues Live experience. And what an experience it has been, ladies and gentlemen, this past week or so since the season began and we had our season preview episode with Matt Ardlicka. It's been up and down roller coaster ride. You've got the blowout losses to Cleveland and Golden State. You've got the somewhat convincing wins over the Brooklyn Nets, Indiana Pacers, and then the Sacramento Kings on Tuesday night. Memphis continues their West Coast swing against the Portland Trail Blazers, Utah Jazz, and the Los Angeles Clippers over the next few days. And we're going to talk about all that and a lot more, some of the great new pieces that have gone up over at grizzlybearblues.com, the legend of GBB commenter that continues to grow. Impressive stuff. I'm looking forward to his Friday 2 column. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. We'll talk about these first five games. We'll talk about Jeff Green and the blame on him getting a little bit old, even though he struggled again against Golden State. But in fairness, a lot of guys struggled against Golden State. All that in the Grizzly Bear News segment here at the beginning of the program. Then in the second segment, we are excited to welcome back Mr. Chip Williams. He was a host of this program for a few episodes during our brief run on Yahoo Sports 7:30 a.m. in Memphis. He also was the producer of season 2 of this program last year. Chip has started his own podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a very good one. I highly recommend it. I will be a guest on there in the next week or so myself. And we are looking forward to having Chip Williams back on the show. We'll give him an opportunity to rant about Jordan Adams, although it sounds like Dave Yeager kind of has plans for him, or maybe he's just blowing smoke up Chip's butt because he knows Chip gets really fired up and Chip is probably bigger than Dave Yeager. So maybe he's just trying to help him out there. We'll talk about Marc Gasol, who Rob Fisher, the Grizzly sideline reporter, also has a show on Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis, just tweeted out that Marc Gasol is questionable for the game against the Portland Trailblazers on Thursday night. So that's a big piece of news that we can discuss here, for both in this segment and with Chip Williams in segment 2. Then at the end of the program, we will welcome a friend of the show, Mr. Ben Hogan. He is a producer of, or the producer, excuse me, of 92.9 ESPN Memphis's Eric Hasseltine show. You can follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Not the Golfer. Mr. Ben Hogan, we'll talk to him about Tony Allen, how impactful he is and can be. We'll talk to him about the week ahead. We just talked about the Portland game that Marc Gasol is now questionably listed for. We will talk to him about all of the games that are coming up between now and our next live broadcast, which will be Thursday, November 12th. And that includes, heaven forbid, another matchup with those Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry and company will come to the FedEx Forum Wednesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. But we'll get to that later on. We're excited to have Chip on. We're excited to have Ben on. But we're most excited, first and foremost, to be back with you with some Grizzly Bear news. And the news this week has been up and down, Mr. Faulkner. It's been a crazy, crazy time. And it seems every year on Twitter or on the blog itself, it gets a little bit testier and it gets a little bit more impatient. The living and dying from win to loss and back again seems to be at an all-time high with these Grizzlies this season.
And I personally love that in a way, Joe, because that means there are people who really care. And that's always a good thing when you're investing your time in doing anything. But it is definitely a volatile mix of emotions going on right now. There are people who are offended that people would criticize the Grizzlies after 4-5 games. There are people who are offended by people who are offended by that, and so on and so on. Some people are, you know, it's just the tendency of fandom. Some people will love this team and support what they do no matter what. And then some people team, but will nitpick at every single thing they do. You know, every single loss can bring up a whole new patch of issues if you want it to. But the Grizzlies currently have a winning record, and that's great news. They did look particularly awful against the two playoff teams that they have played. Those were the two finals contenders, but that's still not, if you're looking to contend for a title, that is not, my friends, how you want to look against the two teams that were just in the finals. You want to hang around with them at least, and the Grizzlies did not in either contest there against the Cavs and the Warriors. And Dave Yeager commented on how the team can look old sometimes, and that is the truth of where we're at, honestly. There are going to be games where this team looks old and performs old and loses old. And I sort of get the impression with the lopsided losses that they had, that they don't have the same I won't say tenacity. They don't have the same thing to prove that they did 2-3 years ago when they would get down to teams and just fight and fight and fight, even if that meant just clawing back within, you know, 10 points by the end of the game. And I don't think they have that to prove anymore. I think they you know their own identity, and that's probably good enough for them. But I think when you see this team get down 20 points now, you're going to see some people kind of hang up the shoes a little bit, and I think that plays into the idea of pacing yourself on endurance and conditioning and whatnot. You know, they might have been able to, you know, come back on, against Golden State and get it within 15 or so or whatever, but that would that have been at the expense being awful for the next 2-3 games on the road trip? I mean, they just had just started the road trip, so I can kind of understand why the score might look way worse than it is. Because my God, how many teams lose by 50 points in the NBA? That seriously just doesn't happen that often, especially not with a team of the caliber of the Grizzlies. But, you know, they look good last night, and I think they've got some positive things to build on going forward, even with Marc Gasol having neck spasms.
And the frustrating thing about this Grizzlies start, and it's been talked about a little bit on the blog over at grizzlybearblues.com, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to our show, please check out grizzlybearblues.com for all the latest and greatest Grizzlies news and analysis. Lots of good features, a little bit of satire this week from GBB commenter talking about the Warriors being cheaters. You know, lots of good game previews, all sorts of fun stuff. Make sure you're checking out grizzlybearblues.com. Maddie B, I'll bring you back in on this. We're talking about this idea of complacency that's floated around. And when you keep the same group of guys together for so long without any major changes, and obviously Matt Barnes coming in, Brandon Wright coming in, those are wrinkles to be sure. And Jeff Green last January, still technically a relatively new member of this core. But when you keep the same guys that are really the meat and potatoes of your team, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, you keep them together for so long, and you keep the general scheme the same for so long. Obviously, Dave Yeager comes in, makes some offensive wrinkles, but especially defensively, this team is what they have been for the most part. Complacency can settle in, and that is the most, and I say this as a fan, I say this as a coach, the word complacency and seeing it happen can literally be disgusting in the idea that, A, it happens to all of us, so it's not a judgment of the Grizzlies. It happens to every human being who has a pulse. And B, it's disgusting because it goes against what these Grizzlies should be, which is having a sense of urgency on a night-to-night basis because of how brutal the Western Conference is. Golden State looks like they're going to be the one seed with a bullet. Memphis right now, currently, again, small sample size theater. You'll hear that a lot this evening. They're currently the 7th seed, Matty B. If this were to hold, again, goodness sakes, please don't tweet her. It's only 5 games in. I get it. But just hypothetically speaking, if Memphis is in that 7th seed, 8th seed conversation and they have to go get sacrificed to Golden State, I'm not so sure that you call that season a success. They have to figure out a lot of things, whether it's Marc Gasol, whether it's continued cohesion off the bench, Zach Randolph being consistent, Mike Conley kind of disappeared against the Kings at times. They've got to get this ship righted relatively soon. We know that the first 18 to 25 games is going to be complicated, but, I mean, losing by 50 points, that, as Chris said, that can't be accepted, and that can't be seen as something that can ever happen again.
It almost seems like losing by 50 is such an anomaly, just a bad situation. And I feel like, and this is part of your earlier question, that this team is kind of like an uber veteran team in the sense of they really have, you know, we talked about this in the offseason, that they know who they are and they know what they can do. But that can be good, but then at some point they can just kind of look around and go, boys, this ain't going tonight. And I kind of feel like that kind of happened in both the Cleveland game and the Golden State game, where they just kind of looked around and said, it ain't happening tonight. And that's frustrating as a fan. to kind of watch a game and realize that your team has no chance whatsoever in a game. But, you know, to kind of work it back to, you know, I was listening to a couple other podcasts. They were talking about the Golden State game, and I think David Aldridge, who does for TNT, compared the Golden State Warriors to the 77-78 Portland Trailblazers that just came back after winning a title and just blew everybody out until Bill Walton got injured that season. And you know, they seem to be a bad matchup for the Grizzlies for certain. But back to kind of your original question about the Grizzlies. If they end up at the bottom of the playoff bracket and end up having to play a Golden State team that'll beat the brakes off them, yeah, I mean that's not a very good situation. But it's five games in, you know it's a small sample size theater, and that's five games in, and you know we just kind of have to take them one game at a time, to use the most obvious cliche in the world. And, you know, that's just the frustrating thing about it is, well, like I talked about, is to watch them on Monday night and not seem to know where they are. But last night they kind of got, you kind of watched them in that second half where they kind of looked around and said, hey, we could win this, and not only win this, but we could beat this team pretty good. And that's, I thought last night was actually a much better sign, much more meaningful than anything that happened in Monday's game against Golden State.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. I am talking with my producer, Matty B, Matt Bishop. Follow him on Twitter at TheAmazingMattyB, and our managing editor over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Mr. Chris Faulkner. Follow him on Twitter at FaulknerMemphis. You know, it's a situation where you watch these games, and as an East Coast guy, staying up to watch these games now that they're on the West Coast. You know, the Kings game started at 10 o'clock Eastern time. The Warriors game started at 10:30. Portland game starts at 10:30 tomorrow night. And you stay up and you watch these games and you watch these guys play. And for me, Chris, something that frustrated me, and I mentioned it in the preview that I wrote for the Sacramento game, I don't see a ton of fire. Now, that kind of ties in to Matty B's point about this being a veteran team. They're a team who maybe doesn't necessarily see the value in that. Perhaps they're trying to save their energy, per se, because they are a team that has a lot of miles on the tires in some spaces, in some cases. But at the same time, you know, I would be furious if I was getting my head smashed in by the damn Golden State Warriors, even if they are that good. They're a damn good basketball team, but I'd be pissed. You would have to, you know, I don't know. It bothered me as a fan, sitting and watching the game. It kind of reminded me of when you see an NFL team or a college team and the score gets out of hand and it's like they quit. Now, I'm not saying the Grizzlies quit, but at the same time, you want to see some semblance of frustration. Not in terms of fighting or not in terms of a flagrant two or anything like that, but in terms of, you know, just getting into each other a little bit, holding each other accountable a little bit more. Marc Gasol talked about this in an article after the Warriors game. I believe it was in the Commercial Appeal, or it might have even been after the Cleveland game, the first game of the season. He said, you know, there are too many my bads and I'm sorries, and, you know, there aren't enough, you know, get in your face and do your damn jobs for me. And while Memphis is 3-2 sitting here and they're in a good spot, Portland game will be a challenge, Utah will be a challenge. If they get one of these next three games on this West Coast trip, I'm considering it a success. But at the same time, I just want to see energy, fire. I'm worried that if they sit on their laurels and they don't really engage emotionally in terms of fire and passion, outwardly at least, to try to get some spark going, that they're going to, you know, come out of this stretch of hellacious games, end of November, beginning of December, and they won't be the 10-8 or the 12-10 that we hope they'll be, keeping their heads above water going into the easier part of their schedule. They'll be well below 500, and they're going to have a hell of a time just getting into that 7 or 8 seed out west.
Yeah, it we definitely can see that it's going to be an uphill battle for the Grizzlies the next couple of months to start the season. I think they've got some new faces, and they've got, hopefully they've got a plan to incorporate younger players at some point into this team. And to do that, they have to kind of, they've got to change up a bit of their formula. And we could be seeing some of the, I don't know, jet lag from some of those transitions. And while they're still developing chemistry, some of those new players and maybe new ideas, you know, maybe that's kind of the lackadaisical performances we've seen have been a result of they've gotten down. They're still kind of working on the on-court chemistry, particularly, you know, off the bench. So maybe they just don't have the tools right now to compete at that level. And that could be very well what's going on. That's fair. And you just have to trust and hope that they have a plan for it to get better as the season goes along, because surely the chemistry will grow with these guys. They all seem like very hardworking players and seem very committed to the cause. So you would like to see, as they get better playing with one another, particularly like Brandon Wright and Matt Barnes and all the combinations thereof, even Jeff Green still, obviously, maybe as they get a little bit better, they start becoming more competitive and they show a little bit more of that fight, because they have been rather flat in a lot of what we've seen so far. And yeah, it's hard to keep that fire going, man. And we knew it's bound to happen at some point, which this team changes from what it is and has been to something else. And we might, be starting to see the very fringe of what that is and how that's going to happen. And it's going to be uncomfortable. There's still a lot of talent on the team and a lot of really good players. And, I feel good about it. It just might not look too pretty for a while.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. The voice that you just heard was that of Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Make sure you're giving him a follow on Twitter, at FaulknerMemphis. And Chris, you make interesting points there. And the main thing that I take away from what you just said, and it's been surprising to me, is that perhaps gradual beginnings of seeing that setting sun that we talk about. And it again, small sample size theater. We acknowledge that several of us, and Zach Randolph is a great example, several on Twitter before the game against the Sacramento Kings, myself included, were talking about the value of a Zach Randolph trade. What could you get for him? Can you bring in a Marcus Morris? Can you bring in, obviously a probably unrealistic, lofty expectation would be a Chris Bosh, from the Heat. Floating out trade ideas, and if you really want to change the culture, and not in a bad way, because I think it's a good culture here in Memphis, but if you want to change the schemes, if you want to change the identity, it has to involve Zach Randolph. Trading Jeff Green is not going to change the identity of this franchise. It's just not. And again, that's not to say that it needs a change, but if you're stale, if you're complacent, if you're in a place where you cannot grow yourself any longer, and you just kind of are what you are, it's worth discussing. Until he drops 20 and 11 on you, and you look kind of silly for even mentioning it. But at the same time, you have to take the grand scale. Again, that one game is small sample size, and you see a lack of athleticism, and you see him becoming unplayable in stretches and spots. And for me, that is what is most surprising. It's not abrupt per se, but seeing it maybe a little bit more early in the year than I thought we would. The Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day this week, Chris, was asking about, in general, what has been most surprising for you? Surprising, concerning, whatever it might be, through the first five games for the Memphis Grizzlies. We had one response this week. Sometimes the question of the day catches on like wildfire, other times not so much. We appreciate Jay Fleming at JFlem901 chiming in. He says being beaten by 50 points was surprising and concerning. It was also kind of hilarious. I guess we can laugh at it at some point. Maybe Memphis will go on a 10-game winning streak or something, and it won't be as important. But you feel pretty down and out after that loss. What has surprised or concerned you, Chris, about this team so far? Again, 3-2, small sample size. Hopefully they get it going. Hopefully Mark's neck injury is not serious. Knowing Marc Gasol, a guy who played with torn ab muscles and injured knees, if he can go, he'll probably go. But at the same time, again, nicked up early in the year. What surprises you about this team so far, Chris? What concerns you?
I've got one of each. I'll go with Mark as a concern, a surprise of some sort, although I guess it's not really that surprising. But Marc Gasol is not in the condition and shape he was in last year. It should be obvious to anyone who's watched him play so far. It's understandable in the sense that he didn't play Euroball over the summer this year. It's the first time he's not played competitive basketball all year long, way in the summer, since he was probably 16 years old. So I can understand how that plays into it, but he doesn't look like the same. He doesn't look like the Max Mark player quite yet that we saw last year for most of the season. And now he's, got a neck issue. So that's disappointing and kind of, that's not what the Grizzlies needed to really get off to a good start. That's their franchise player now that they just gave the contract. And that's disappointed me. I'm not saying that, I'm not throwing tomatoes at Marc Gasol or anything, but I'm hopeful that he'll, get it together and get the flow and get, back into basketball shape and be fine. But that's my concern there. The surprise for me would be Courtney Lee and sort of this new shade of Courtney Lee that we've been seeing, which is a really fun player, honestly, like incredibly fun, especially for a team like the Grizzlies. We tend to think of him, obviously he's in a contract year, so that's, that's the stage here, but hell, that's, how it goes in professional sport. But we're seeing, he's not just the outside threat three-point shooter that we kind of tend to tag him with because, that there's the rest of the starting lineup is lacking that attribute so much. So we kind of emphasize that part of him. But he is obviously a very talented basketball player. He can do a lot of other things, some well and then some very well. And we're seeing some of his, interior game or just a different side of him that's a lot more aggressive and looking to score and not being reactive so much as causing the defense to react to him. And he's been using that to his advantage. And that's been really exciting to see. That dunk he had last night, the putback dunk off of someone's miss, was incredible. We saw a clip of him back in the summer, playing some pickup game somewhere where he, took it to the basket with a very aggressive tomahawk dunk. And it's fun to see him flash that side because we need that. We need that from him, especially as, you're not going to get it out of Zach Randolph, obviously, and you're not, Mike Conley's not a dunker. He's not a flashy player. So it's fun to have that in the mix. And I think, that's going to play to the benefit of the Grizzlies down the line because, he can get hot and really, really hit some shots. So if he's taking more shots, it just seems like the math is in our favor there.
It's not that bad. It's a situation where even with the two losses coming by 80 points, an average of 40, so two blowouts. It's not that bad, Grizzlies fans. It's not that bad. They're 3-2. They have time to right this ship, and I think that's important to keep in mind. There are 77 games left to be played. Mr. Chris Faulkner, thank you so much for joining us, as always, here in the first segment. Memphis has a long road ahead of them still, many miles to go before they sleep, so to speak, in the eternal words, to paraphrase Robert Frost. But at the same time, there's some positives there. Courtney Lee has been a nice little addition. He's more aggressive. I think that Brandon Wright's starting to find himself, and I think you'll continue to see this team settle in a little bit more as the season grinds along. And we will continue to settle in at GrizzlyBearBlues.com as well, thanks to the fearless leadership of the very handsome-sounding Chris Faulkner. Chris, good to talk to you as always. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bud, and shout-out to Chip for coming back on. It'll be good to hear his voice again.
It will be. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, at Faulkner Memphis. And you are listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. I am joined, as always, by our producer, Mr. Matt Bishop. And I'm also joined on the line right now by a caller into the show, Maddie B. I'm gonna ask Chip. I know Chip's number, so I'm going to ask him to hold on here for a second. I'm just curious. We so rarely get call-ins, Maddie. I'm interested to see who this is. This could be a bad surprise or a good surprise. Whoever this is, I caution you, this is a family show. Please be respectful. Hello there. You're on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Who are we talking to? Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Nobody's there. Oh, man.
Nah.
Called in. Maybe they were just trying to listen to the show. I'll put him back on the headset. That's disappointing. I was like, oh, man, we have a caller. He's going to have
an actual
headset.
Caller.
Well, we don't give out the number. We've done it in the past and to not so good results. So, but the number is out there. So, hey, if you want to call in, we'll try that at the end of the show for folks who live
there
all the way through. But anyway, I just wanted to see if that wonderful person was interested in chiming in. But they're just in the queue, and that's fine. They can listen to the show. You can listen on your phones, obviously, as well, if you call in to that number, if you know it. But anyway, I'll get to that number at the end. We're excited to move on here in this episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live to our next guest. He is a senior writer over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He is the host of the Chip Williams Podcast, which you can find here on our GBB Live Blog Talk Radio channel. We're excited to have him back on this show. He was the producer of the program last year, and he also was the host for a few episodes when we made the brief switch over to Yahoo Sports 7:30 a.m. in Memphis. We're excited to have him back. He's one of the good ones, one of my friends. I consider him a friend, Mr. Chip Williams. And Chip, I know that you can appreciate the fact how excited I was when I saw there was a caller in the queue.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's I think we took callers one time during last season at GBB Live, and like Jay May called in, so
that's
that was
right.
Cool. But I think that was it. Yeah, if you remember
that's
that.
That's right. Jay May called in, and then the season before that, I believe we tried to take callers, and Tricity called in. Shout out to Tricity.
Right.
Another GBBer of the past. So people have helped out their buddy Joe on the Blog Talk Radio airways, but rarely have people just called in to call in. So I appreciate this caller. I'm guessing they're just listening to the show, and please stay on, not trying to make fun or anything. We're glad you're listening to the program. And Chip, we are especially glad to have you back on, my friend. It's been too long since you've been on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, and it's also been on GBB Live, I should say, because you do have your own podcast, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But it's also been too long since we got your hot takes when it comes to the Grizzlies and their young players. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We do want to start with something, because when I talked to you about coming on the show, you said that you were interested in doing this, and it kind of took me back, Chip. It kind of shocked me, I'm going to be honest. I was not anticipating you saying this, and maybe I'll allow you, because we talked a couple of days ago, maybe after the past couple of games you want to retract it a little bit. But you said, Chip, that you wanted to put some praise to Jeff Green. Now, I'm going to give you this opportunity to say, hey, he's struggled the past couple games, because he has. If you look at his advanced numbers, his basic numbers, not the best couple of games for Jeff, but overall, he has looked, especially since his move to the bench against Indiana and Brooklyn in particular, he's looked pretty solid.
He has, and I'll tell you before I start on that, so I saw when you sent out the email for this that I was a senior writer, and I had to go back and check the masthead, and I was like, wow, I am a senior writer. I had no idea. So I feel
good
about getting that.
There you go. You got promoted, dude.
I know. I'm waiting for that promotion check to come in. I'm excited. So that was pretty cool. It's good to see that. But, yeah, that's something that I think is worth giving a little bit of praise to Jeff. It certainly was a few days ago when we talked. And, well, sure, he hasn't had the best games. He certainly didn't have a good game against Golden State, but really nobody did.
Exactly.
And it really wasn't great against Sacramento. But I think what the couple of games when Jeff came off the bench against Indiana and Brooklyn, it showed you that Jeff can be put in a role where he can be useful for this Grizzlies team, basically. You know, starting him was never a good idea. It was something that Jaeger, for whatever reason, continued to try to do. He tried to do it last season. He tried it during the preseason. It didn't look great. And then he tried it to start off this season. It was a disaster. And it would be silly to blame Jeff totally for what happened opening night against the Cavaliers. But it certainly didn't help. It didn't help the fact that he was starting. Your eyes tell you that it looks bad. The numbers tell you that it's not good. It's just not good. So him coming off the bench is something that gives him the opportunity to, I think, be most effective for this team. Because he's a guy that likes to have the ball in his hands and be able to do things, you know, and that's a dangerous thing when Jeff Green is kind of out there freelancing. But I think if you can define a role for him, you'll find that he can be a useful player. He's not the guy that I think everybody wants him to be. I think everybody probably wants him to be a Paul George type, and he certainly looks the part, but he's just never going to be that. And I think once you accept that, you can find a more defined role for him. That's the key, is you got to tell him, look, Jeff, we need you to attack the basket. We need you to facilitate when necessary. But don't go out there and just start freelancing, because that's when you get yourself into trouble. So I credit Dave Jaeger for putting him back on the bench, letting him come in with the second unit and be able to do things. So there are good things, good takeaways from the first five games. I know we're not coming off of the best stretch of him the last couple of games, but there are ways that the Grizzlies and Dave Jaeger can make Jeff Green a very useful player this season.
And he's done good things for Memphis so far. He really has. His three-point percentage right now is 38.5%, which would be tied with his best since 2008-2009. I'm on basketballreference.com looking at these numbers. And again, small sample size theater. Please don't tweet or yell at me about how it's just five games. I get it, but we're just talking about how he's played these past five games. His per 36-minute stats, Chip, are actually kind of nice. He'd be averaging his greatest amount of – he'd be doubling, actually, his assists per game at this point. He's per 36 minutes, he's at 4 assists right now. His best was last season at 2.1 in that per 36 category. So it really is fascinating to see how he's kind of been put into a role as a facilitating big. It's almost like a skinny Boris Diaw in a way, a guy who can kind of get off the dribble a little bit. He's more athletic, obviously, than Boris. When I say that, I mean a guy who can, you know, handle the ball a little bit. I mean it as a guy who can facilitate offense most especially, because you can see a Boris Diaw have that capacity to be able to pass the basketball, play in the mid-range, create for others. Same thing with Jeff, and Jeff is more athletic, maybe not quite as basketball savvy as Boris, but you can see him on dribble penetration. He's starting to find the open cutter or the open guy on the block. You can see him trying to settle maybe a little bit more in the corner. I'd have to look at his shot chart to back that up. But I just feel like he's trying, and he's not consistently there. You still see him do the pull-up jumper that makes you want to pull your hair out a little bit, maybe like Jared Bayless's long-range twos used to. But Jeff Green hasn't been a major issue overall. Now, there would be others that would disagree with that. But my counter would be, if you look at everybody's numbers, and I did this before the game, and we'll talk about Marc Gasol here in a little bit, or before the show, but you want to talk offensive rating and defensive rating. Well, right now, Jeff Green's offensive rating is 94, and his defensive rating is 110. That would be the worst overall rating for him since his rookie season. And that sounds terrible,
right?
And you want to bench Jeff Green for that. He shouldn't play at all, right? Well, compare that to Marc Gasol, whose offensive rating is a 99, the worst of his career so far, and his defensive rating is 109, the worst of his career so far. So all of these guys are underperforming to one extent or the other. You know, Brandon Wright has started to show his stripes a little bit, but Matt Barnes, who was never a sharpshooter, but he was a guy who could maybe convert at a 34-35% clip from three, he's a guy who struggled. Mike Conley has struggled at times. Zach Randolph has had issues. All of these guys at one point or another have started this season slow, and that's how you get to the point, especially in those blowout losses where you look so lost.
Sure, yeah, and here's the thing is they've lost two games by 80 points. You know, they lost by 30 to Cleveland. They lost by 50 to the Warriors, and that's going to skew a lot of those numbers to look terrible. You know, we've mentioned the word sample size so much, and you do need at least probably 25 games to get even some semblance of an accurate rating or accurate projection of what the season's going to look like for these guys, you know. And with Jeff, you bring up the Boris Diaw thing. Well, I wish that Jeff was the defender that Boris was. The thing that's impressed me the most with him is his passing ability, because Jeff, he's never been known necessarily as a guy that's a very skilled passer, but he's done a really good job of it this season. You know, he's a guy that in the past, when he gets on the court, the ball comes to him and it sticks. He either, you know, holds the ball too long, he dribbles it into a turnover, he ends up shooting some ridiculous 16-foot jumper that misses, or even if it makes, it's really not a very good shot. But he's been swinging the ball better. And so I think one of the buzzwords kind of in the offseason was, you know, you get this guy a full preseason, a full training camp in, and he's going to look better within the flow of the offense. And while some of that is overstated, because a 29er is not going to all of a sudden get significantly better, but he can become more comfortable in the flow of the offense and understand what he's supposed to do and when he's supposed to do it. He still looks lost on defense at times. He's not a good defender. He never has been. I'm not sure that he ever will be. But there are things that you can point to that say, okay, this looks better. And if he can continue to do some of these things, it's going to be okay. He's going to be a net positive for the Grizzlies. And that's what they need. I mean, the guy can give you a different dimension. And if you're getting positive things out of him, yeah, I think that's good. I think that's really good, because the small forward position has been something that the Grizzlies have searched for a long time, to find a guy. You know, Rudy Gay wasn't the answer. Tony Allen, to an extent, has not been the answer. He's been the answer in spurt. But I think long term, the Grizzlies realize with Tony Allen as your starting three, there's kind of a ceiling. Or with him, I guess, playing the majority of the minutes at three, there's a ceiling that this team can get to, and I'm not so sure that they haven't maxed that ceiling out. And I think that's probably why Dave Joerger tried to start Jeff Green, because he realizes if Jeff is what everybody hopes he one day will be, which he probably will never end up reaching, this team can kind of burst through that ceiling a little bit. So, I say all that to say Jeff on the bench has been a good thing. Him with the second unit has been a good thing, and I think he will continue to get more comfortable, and Dave Joerger will get more comfortable with knowing who to put out on the floor with him to make him a net positive for the Grizzlies.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am Matty B, and we're talking with Chip Williams, a senior writer for Grizzly Bear Blues. Chip, I'm sitting in your former chair, in your former seat, and in your former place, and I want to be imbued by some rant ability. So here we go. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. The Grizzlies have played five games, and to this point, the young players haven't played very much. Jordan Adams hasn't played very much. Russ Smith hasn't played very much. Michael Green has played, but he's coming in spurts and actually played really well against Sacramento last night. Darnell Stokes has been on a milk carton. So this is your opportunity. Show out, because it's time to rant. How come the Grizzlies can't play young guys?
I wish I had that answer for you. I don't know. I will say that I feel a little bit better about one player specifically, Jordan Adams, and that's because Joerger was saying before the game last night against the Sacramento Kings that he's going to have to be very careful with Jordan for the near future. because he's coming off of that off-season injury. He even had surgery in the off-season, and maybe he re-aggravated something kind of in the Golden State game. But he, even if he hadn't have done something like that, he's going to have to bring him along slowly. And I suspected that there was some of that, although the Grizzlies had not really come out and said anything that, hey, Jordan's hurt, so we're going to have to bring him along very slowly. So I was wondering, kind of in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, maybe that's a reason. And so you heard Jaeger say, I want to play Jordan, but I got to bring him along slowly. I got to be very careful. But the thing is, you know, every time Jordan Adams steps on the basketball court, or virtually every time, he looks good. He looks like a guy that deserves to play more minutes, especially for a team that struggles to find scoring from its 2 and 3. And that's what Jordan Adams can do. I mean, that's what he specializes in. He's a really good spot-up shooter. He's great at taking guys off the dribble and getting to the basket, neither drawing fouls or being able to finish. You worry about his defense, I think, at some times. But I think when he's engaged, he's a certainly competent NBA defender, or can be. It didn't look good in the summer league, but I just wonder how engaged he was. I don't know that he was that engaged. But it is kind of silly to me, you know, the fact that they just do not trust their young guys at all. I mean, you look at what Chicago has done with Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott basically didn't play as a rookie and looked really bad at times as a rookie. Well, Fred Hoiberg has come in. He's taken those handcuffs off of McDermott. He's let the guy kind of play through some of his mistakes. And he's looked pretty good in his second season. He's looked like a guy that's going to contribute on an Eastern Conference Finals level kind of team, or maybe even an NBA Finals kind of team if they get lucky with some injuries and things like that. He can be the guy that's going to come off the bench and provide a scoring burst for them, you know, if they want to sub out Mirotić. So I don't understand why the Grizzlies can't do that with Russ Smith, with Jordan Adams, because the only way that these guys are going to get better, they're going to have to just play through their mistakes, and you're going to have to live with that. So I think that the best solution would be, you know, with a guy like Jordan Adams, give him 8 to 12 minutes a night, reevaluate after 15 or 20 games. If it looks like it's okay, maybe bump it up to 15. If it looks like he's not ready, maybe pull it back to the lower end of 8 or so, and just kind of figure out where he fits, what lineups he fits in, where he's most effective. And that's the whole part of this first half of the season. I feel like they're going to have to work some things out and feel some things out. Now, Jermichael Green's been fantastic. You know, he's a quote young guy because he's in his second year, but he's really 25 or 26 years old. So he's in a guy that basically in the athletic prime of his career is starting to enter kind of the beginning stages of that. You know, you think the 26 to 29 is kind of the athletic prime where your brain has learned enough information to catch up to where your body is still kind of on the upswing of your career. And that's where Jermichael finds himself. So he's been great coming off the bench. I hope that when Jordan Adams is ready to go, they'll trust him enough to give him 10 to 12 minutes a night and then just kind of reevaluate and go from there. And with Russ Smith, it's clear they don't trust the guy. I mean, there's rumors about them trying to go out and get a guy like a Mario Chalmers. Bino has not looked great at points this season, and they just treat him basically like he's the 12th man on the roster or something like that. So there's something going on there. I know Russ has been kind of turnover prone, but again, that's the thing. He's just got to work through it. It's that simple. He's just got to work through things like that. You've got to throw him out there and be willing to just say, hey, Russ, you get 8 minutes tonight. We'll see how you look the next night, and just kind of keep going from there. So the development system for the Grizzlies is something that I've had a big problem with, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years, because guys, if you look at it, outside of Mike Conley, who have the Grizzlies brought on? Like, who have they developed? I couldn't give you one. You know, they kind of got Zach Randolph ready to go. They got Tony Allen ready to go. Mark Gasol was already the MVP of the second-best league in the country. So I don't know who they've really developed. They've just kind of brought in trades and free agents and just lived by that. But at some point, you've got to develop some talent from within, because that's what all the best teams do.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. The voice that you just heard is that of former GBB Live producer, current senior writer for GrizzlyBearBlues.com, and host of the Chip Williams podcast, Mr. Chip Williams. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, at Chip Williams Jr. And Chip, I got to tell you, one guy who has impressed me, and I liked him from the second they acquired him this offseason, yes, he's kind of an ass, but at the same time, he can play basketball. And he plays with that energy and that tenacity that I was talking about earlier in the show. He's a guy who is mentally tough. You could argue, you know, there's a I'll beat your ass Zeebo tough. But then there's just like a distinct mental toughness. And if you have done any research, if you watch the video that's floated around on Matt Barnes and his upbringing, this dude is just one tough dude. And on defense, he's tenacious. He is a bigger wing, which I've been calling for a long time for these Grizzlies. I'm tired of the 6'4", 6'5", shooting guard types. I like that there's a true larger wing out there now. He's shooting terribly right now. There's no getting around that. His offense is just not up to snuff at the moment. You'd imagine he'll get back up closer to the 33% mark, even if he doesn't shoot as well as he did last year for the Clippers. Matt Barnes, what should Memphis do with him? Should they, you know, if you look at Tony Allen, and if you, and again, Dave Yeager talked about this, the idea of perhaps matching up a little bit more this year because of your depth, knowing that maybe you can rotate guys in. Is Matt Barnes worth a look as a starter for these Grizzlies? Because I think he is. I don't know who you pull. I'd know who I'd pull, but everybody would hate me for it. But I think Matt Barnes is worth a look in that spot because he's not afraid to shoot the three. He's not making them right now, but he's not afraid to shoot it. He's a tenacious defender, and he gives something that Tony Allen just physically cannot give. He gives length and size on the wing.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. I think that Matt Barnes deserves a look over Tony Allen. I mean, I know that's not popular with the majority of Memphis Grizzlies fans, but it's like I talked about earlier on why I think Dave Yeager was trying to make Jeff Green work as a starter. I think they just realized there is a ceiling with Tony Allen as your starting three, and you can get exposed in a seven-game series where teams just don't guard Tony. They don't have to. And, you know, he can make all the cuts that you want him to make, but they're basically just backing off, clogging the paint, and daring Tony Allen to shoot any shot outside of 10 feet. And even then, even if he does get the ball in a cut, he's sometimes suspect to finish that. So Matt Barnes absolutely deserves a look as a starter. You know, it's something that I think that does raise your ceiling a little bit. You know, he's not shooting great right now, but he was never a shooter. I think that there were some people that tried to make him out like, oh, the Grizzlies, they just acquired a shooter in Matt Barnes. Well, he's never been that. He's been a competent shooter. He's been a, I guess, league average wing shooter, basically.
He's not J.J. Redick.
Exactly.
He's not Wes Matthews. He's not Kyle Korver. He's not that type.
No. Thank you. Yes, exactly. He's not a guy that's going to come in and knock down over 40%. Like, I expect him to get to 33 to 35%, somewhere in that area, and that's okay, because that means that you have to at least go out there and respect him. You can't just leave him like teams leave Tony Allen. So I think if you have Mike, Mark, Zach, and then Courtney Lee and Matt Barnes on the wings, I think that opens things up a little bit more because teams are having to respect what Matt Barnes brings as a shooter. Now, that does a little bit of damage to your bench because you think, you know, Barnes, in theory, I guess, could be one of those floor spacers coming off the bench. And now your two wings, I guess, that you would bring in would be Tony Allen and Jeff Green, and neither one of those are necessarily floor spacers, although Jeff Green has shot the three well this season. So that's where I think you could even incorporate bringing in a Jordan Adams to space that floor a little bit off the bench. And I think it's complicated. It really complicates the bench, and it would force Dave Yeager to become creative. But I think, like, if the Grizzlies went into the playoffs with the starting lineup, or at least the starting wing combination of Courtney Lee and Matt Barnes, it wouldn't shock me. And I think that's the best way to go. Like, I think that in terms of everything that you need, you've got a guy, Courtney Lee, that's 6'4", 6'5", and is a very competent NBA defender, has a good floor spacer, and a guy in Matt Barnes is just tough as nails. I mean, he brings that level of toughness. He's not the defender that Tony Allen is, but he's not that far off. And I think he's a significantly better floor spacer than what Tony Allen gives you. But I think it opens things up, and I don't think you lose too much. So, yes, I do think he's worth a look, and I think he will get that look eventually.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We are finishing up here with our guest at this time, Mr. Chip Williams. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, at Chip Williams Jr. He is a senior writer for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He is also the host of the Chip Williams podcast that you can check out here on our Blog Talk Radio channel. You can also subscribe to it on iTunes, just like you subscribe to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Hopefully you already do that. And Chip, we will get you out of here on this. A interesting question, and you talked about how it's not popular to criticize a TA or a Zach Randolph. It's just not. And at the same time, Marc Gasol has kind of earned that rep. Certainly had a tremendous season last year. Nobody is questioning that. And nobody is questioning his value in terms of his max contract. I did that last year before the season began. He proved me wrong. Happily, I admit that I will eat that crow and enjoy it because of the year that he had. Well worth the contract that he signed. However, and current injury situation to the side, his neck bothering him, he is again questionable for the game against the Portland Trailblazers on TNT on Thursday night. But as we look at Marc Gasol's numbers, Chip, and again, this is from basketballreference.com, he is having, and again, please don't yell at me. I understand it's a small sample size, ladies and gentlemen, but he has not looked good at all in terms of his overall numbers. His shooting percentage is at an all-time low. He's shooting 43.6% from the field. He's just not converting at a high clip. He's 44% on two-point attempts. That would be a career low for him. He's just not looking engaged in the offense right now or the defense on a consistent basis. He's struggling mightily, Chip. Is this a situation where you look at Marc Gasol and you say, hey, he didn't play in the summer like he normally does. It'll probably just take him a little bit longer to get used to things. Is this a spot where we say he was due for a regression at some point? He couldn't possibly keep up that level of play. Or do we say we paid this guy a max contract? Obviously, and I think the barometer you use, Chip, I say Christmas. That's right around that 25-game mark. You play 25 right. games, you see where you're at, and if Mark's not where the max contract player should be by 25 games, you have to legitimately criticize, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think a lot of Mark's struggles through the first five games are rooted in two things. One is know that he's in tip-top basketball shape, and you've talked about him not playing basketball this summer, and that's something that he's used to. I mean, basically, Mark's used to playing basketball year-round, you know, basically 11 months out of the year. He may take a month off or 2 weeks off, but that's about it. And he really didn't do much of that this summer. So I think, number one, he's a little bit out of shape, and he's kind of playing his way back into shape. I think, number two, that neck injury looks nasty. It looked gross last night, to be quite honest with you. He was kind of hunched over. You could tell he couldn't really turn his head like he wanted to. It didn't look good. And Dave Yeager said that he's been dealing with that for a couple of weeks. I don't know if that was just a figure of speech saying that, you know, he's been dealing with it for a while and he just said a couple of weeks. But if that's true, if he's been dealing with that for a couple of weeks, I mean, that's something that he's got to get right because, you know, your neck, if you can't spin your head or turn your head, you're not really comfortable doing anything. And it did not look good last night. It looked really bad last night. So I think those are probably the main two things holding Mark back right now is he's just kind of working his way back into basketball shape and that neck injury. I am a little bit concerned about that. I don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's part of his struggles because he didn't look comfortable at all last night on the basketball court. So as soon as he gets those two things taken care of, I mean, we know Mark. He kind of is what he is at this point. He's one of the best down-low defenders in the NBA. He's a guy that you can run your offense through. At times, I think this, you know, early on, he's looked a little bit passive, stepped some shots that he was taking last season. And I just think that maybe we have to accept that that might be who Mark is. He's a little bit frustrating in that way that, you know, we wish that he would be a 20-a-game scorer, but he might just not be. He might be more like a 15 to 16, maybe even 17-a-game scorer. And I think that's just probably who Mark is. But I think you also understand that he's a really good positional rebounder, as in he doesn't necessarily grab all the rebounds, but he's always boxing his man out and clearing space for someone else to get the rebound, or he'll just grab it himself. And we can expect, you know, a steal, a block and a half, and some of the best help, pick and roll defensive kind of point guard, I guess, if you want to call him that, in the NBA. I mean, he's just one of the best. He's simply the best. And I'm not too concerned about it. But, yeah, I think that you have to, if it's still looking like this, here we are at Christmas, maybe a little bit. But I think I got a lot of faith in Mark. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, at least for now.
Chip Williams, it was wonderful to hear you back on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. It was great to have you as a guest for the first time here. And I look forward to being a guest on the Chip Williams podcast in the next week or so. It's going to be a great time talking Grizzlies basketball. And you got to remember, my day job is the football. So you could throw some college football stuff at me, and I wouldn't be too far off in terms of overall opinion. So I'll talk Grizzlies with you, but we can also just shoot the breeze about some college football as well. I'll talk about how the Memphis Tigers should be number 13 in that ranking. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be pissed off at me, but that's okay. I thought that was exactly where Memphis should be.
Done. We'll do it. Book it. Book it. We will talk some Grizzlies for sure. We'll carve out at least 20 or 30 minutes to talk plenty of football. We might even do some NFL. I know you're a Redskins guy, so we'll talk a little bit of everything.
If we do it next week, I don't know if I'm going to want to talk Redskins because they're going to get Tom Brady – father, son of Tom Brady of the NFL, he's going to destroy the Redskins this weekend. So maybe we can avoid them at all costs. Kirk Cousins will not like that, I can tell you. That will not be liked by Kirk Cousins this weekend. But I'm excited to be on your show. You're doing a great job with it. Make sure you're checking it out, ladies and gentlemen, the Chip Williams podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. We're trying to expand. GBB Live will always be the flagship, but there's other folks with a great voice over at grizzlybearblues.com. And we're excited that Chip has kind of branched out and done his own thing. It's a great show. Make sure you're listening. And, Chip, I look forward to talking to you soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me, Joe. Look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chip Williams, Grizzly Bear Blues senior writer, also the host of the Chip Williams podcast. Make sure you're checking it out, subscribing to it. It really is a good show. He does a good job talking a little bit of everything. It's different than this. We don't really get outside of the Grizzlies much on GBB Live. He talks college football. He talks a little bit of everything. He'll talk Memphis Tigers basketball as well as it gets started, just kind of branching out. I look forward to being on his show. I appreciate him coming on ours. You are listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinex. I am joined by my producer, Matty B, Mr. Matt Bishop. I'll bring you in on this, Matt, and then we'll get to our next guest really quick. Are you concerned about Marc Gasol at all, or is this something that you think he'll work his way out of?
I'm not really that concerned about Marc. I'm actually more concerned about the neck thing, probably than anything, because that could be something that can kind of put a pretty serious damper on play for an entire season. As far as his performance so far, I mean, it hadn't been great. He does not look, the sleek Terminator-esque Marc Gasol that came out last season and just, I don't know, for 3 or 4 months just bombed the league and decided that he was going to be the best center in the league and showed everybody else. I wouldn't go as far as to say, like some people have, that now he got his money, now he's just going to get fat and just be lazy. And that's just not – I don't think that's him at all. I think that there's a little – I think so far in this season, I think there's a little, the chemistry seems a little disjointed, especially on offense. And Mark kind of needs everybody to kind of do their thing for him to do his thing. And he's always been that player. He kind of just needs everybody to be where they're supposed to be and everybody's not quite there yet. So I'm not that concerned about him, but like you guys said, we get to Christmas and maybe a little more time to panic.
Christmas is my timeline. It always has been, always will be. Let's see where they're at come Christmas.
Yeah.
Now this Grizzlies team is going to be a little bit different this year because of how brutal their early schedule is. They might hit Christmas and legitimately be, a 15-10. Or a 16-12, that could be real for them. And some people might be freaking out. But again, if you look at the schedule and you see how it plays out for these Grizzlies, December and especially January, it really is a lighter load. It's an opportunity for them to maybe rattle off some wins, get on a streak, get a little bit hot going into the All-Star break. Patience is a virtue. It really is.
Yeah.
And, Mark, I agree. This is going to be the first test, Matty B., of Dave Yeager's injury prevention, all the conversation we've had in the offseason about seeing if these guys are banged up, getting other guys some minutes and some time. This is going to be the first test of that. If Marc Gasol is at all uncomfortable, he should not play this game Thursday night, period, end of story. This is something that can linger for these Grizzlies. Doesn't make any sense. If Brandon Wright and Jarnell Stokes, if those guys come in, obviously Jamichael Green would see increased workload as well. If those guys come in, can't keep up, they lose that game, but Marc Gasol comes back healthy on a Saturday night or even against the Clippers on Monday if he has to miss a couple of games, in my opinion, it's worth it because you want to keep these guys as healthy as possible. Just avoid Golden State at this point. I think everybody can agree with that. You want to get the hell out of the way of Golden State and the Warriors and Steph Curry, the alien from another planet destroying basketball at the moment. But even the Spurs, like the Spurs are certainly a great basketball team. They'd be favored against the Grizzlies, as well they should be in a playoff series. But you go into a series with anybody other than the Warriors at this point, in my opinion, and you think you got a shot. You think you've got an opportunity to possibly win that series. And again, if you're playing small sample size theater one way, ladies and gentlemen, and you say, oh, it's just five games, well, you got to play it the other way and say, well, the 50-point loss, while explosively disappointing, was just one game. If you go to the larger sample size of the playoffs, this Grizzlies team competed, and they did it with two guys that were injured, Conley and Allen. So it's something that you got to play the long game here. You have to have a macro view, and I know that more and more folks will see that as time goes on. And as our time goes on here on GBB Live, we are excited to welcome our final guest this evening. He is a producer over at 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He produces the Eric Hasseltine Show over there for them. He also is a TV producer for Fox 13 Memphis on the TV end. We are excited to have him back on the show. I don't just say it to a friend of the program. No, he really is a friend of the program. He always is gracious with his time, and we greatly appreciate him being gracious once again tonight. This is Mr. Ben Hogan. Mr. Ben Hogan, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all doing tonight?
If we were any better, Ben, we couldn't stand it. We're sitting here. It's a beautiful a beautiful podcast here on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, wherever our wonderful listening audience is taking us in, whether it's on iTunes, on the Archive Podcast, whether it's live on Blog Talk Radio. We're just thankful to be here, and we're thankful to be here speaking with you, Ben, one of the respected radio folks down in Memphis. We're excited to have you with us. And, Ben, it's a situation in Memphis, and you know this because you're on the ground, and we were talking about this earlier in the show. It's fascinating how more and more every year Grizzlies fans live and die with each and every game. Don't get me wrong. Getting blown out by Cleveland by 30, that's not good. Getting absolutely massacred by the Golden State Warriors, 50-point loss, yeesh, not good. But at the same time, if you're going to play small sample size theater, we were just talking about this, if you're going to do that one way, you got to do it the other way. And you got to understand, these first five games, they're just as much the team that pretty comfortably beat Sacramento, Indiana, and Brooklyn as they are the team that got blown out by Cleveland and Golden State. So what does that tell you at the end of the day? That they're capable of beating the lesser teams, which you want them to be, that they are not quite at the level of the elite NBA teams this part of the season. Is anybody really surprised outside of the blowout nature of the losses? I mean, 3-2, 2-3, that's where most people have these guys at this point. And, of course, you know, point differential, people talk about how important that stat is. And, you know, Golden State right now has 100-point, plus 100 point differential four games or five games into the season, which is just ridiculous. But you look at these first five games, Ben, and I don't know about you. Obviously, you're disappointed in the blowouts, but at the same time, they're 3-2. I'm pretty sure I had them at 2-3, or I had them on 2-3 in the West Coast swing, excuse me. So 3-2 sitting here today, Ben, I'll take it.
Yeah, we discussed this on Eric's show today, and it's, you know, you look at the schedule, you see who your first five games are, and you're like, okay, well, we'll go 3-2, you know, 2-3. Cleveland, Golden State, not surprising loss, just surprising by how much they lost by. I mean, if this becomes habit, you need to start worrying. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't even – honestly, I don't think that there's a, you know, 60-point difference between Golden State and Indiana. I mean, the Grizzlies won by, I think, 9 against Indiana, and they won, lost by 50 to Golden State. So you got to you gotta take the good with the bad with the good. And we'll see how the rest of this West Coast swing ends up. You know, I would hope 2-1. I think 2-1 is realistic for the rest of the West Coast swing. But, you know, if that one loss to the hated Clippers ends up being, you know, another 20, 30, 40-point loss, then you might need to worry with Golden State coming to town.
Yes, because it can really get out of hand at that point. And if you keep, you know, all these teams that people talk about, the Warriors or the Clippers, the Thunder, the Rockets, obviously Cleveland in the East, these elite of the elite, Memphis desperately, at least the fan base, wants them to be considered among that group. But if they keep getting completely shellacked by the teams that are a part of that crew, no one can take them seriously. So it really is going to be interesting to see how they play out these last three games. Obviously, Marc Gasol's neck injury will play into that a bit. I'm sure we'll talk about that later in our segment here. Who is somebody or what is something, Ben, that has impressed you so far in these first five games?
Well, the schedule guys just a little favor by, you know, scheduling Brooklyn in there. Got a little lucky with DeMarcus Cousins being out. But other than that, I think JaMychal Green, the play of him, I wasn't expecting him to get this many minutes this early in the season. And he's kind of responded. Last night he had a double-double. And I just think he's playing well. I just – there's not too much to get excited about so far. You know, Zach Randolph's been Zach Randolph. Mark struggled a little. Mike – He's been able to he's handled the ball better than I've seen him handle the ball ever, if that's possible. I would like to see more of Brandon Wright. I've been impressed with him too. I mean, we knew what he was coming into the season, but he seems like he's been pretty consistent for the Grizzlies coming off the bench. Other than that, you know, like I said, there's not too much to get excited about, but it's early, and I'm willing to hold my judgment until, you know, later in the season.
And the obvious answer here, Ben, would be the blowout nature of the two losses to Cleveland and to Golden State. What has really not impressed you so far? Any player in particular? Any, you know, maybe it's a Coach Yeager situation? Whatever it might be, what has not impressed Mr. Ben Hogan to this point?
Well, it's something that was from last year. It's the inconsistency of Jeff Green. You know, he's good in wins, bad in losses. The two wins where they had back-to-back. With Indiana and
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yes, thank you. You know, he was consistent in one, was able to get to the free throw line in the other. He hadn't really gotten to the free throw line, but the one game he was 8-for-10 from the free throw line. And, you know, it just seems like with Jeff Green go the Grizzlies, and I know that's bad to say, and you could look at the stats on pretty much anybody and say the same thing, Courtney Lee as well. But, you know, you didn't trade for this guy to do this. You traded for him to be really a starter, but if he's going to come off the bench, he needs to be the first guy off the bench and contributing and being a consistent, reliable player, and he just hasn't been that. Other than that, you know, we saw this in the Golden State, and the book's kind of out on the Grizzlies. Tony Allen on the offensive end, he's just a liability, and they got to figure something out with that. I don't know exactly. I don't have the exact answer for it. But, you know, if you're getting blown out, you're just going to have to switch what you're doing and, you know, maybe sit Tony Allen on the bench for a while.
We're talking with Ben Hogan of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis' Eric Castletine Show. Follow him on Twitter if you do not already, at NotTheGolfer. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. And Ben, it's an interesting spot because of the love for Tony Allen in Memphis. He is beloved. He's the spokesperson for the damn airport, Ben. I mean, he is in Memphis. Tony Allen will give you a call, Shelby County Schools Roto call, telling you need to get your tail to school. I mean, people love this guy. But at the same time, as you said, Tony Allen does Tony Allen things to the extent and the tricks and the treats, it just seems like it's more that than it ever has been, especially on that offensive end. And like you said, the book is out. It's not a surprise or a secret. Tony Allen can't shoot jumpers. You can write articles, and Jonah Jordan did a great job about this over the summer. He made a great argument. Tony Allen doesn't get the credit he deserves offensively. But at the same time, you can go beyond the numbers. You can go beyond the X's and O's. It can be a simple game, Ben. He can't hit a jumper. And if you can't be defended on a consistent basis from outside, it's going to hamper your overall offense. That's not overly shocking. So at this point in his career, and it kind of ties into what we were talking about in our earlier segment, Ben, Chip Williams made an argument for, and I agree with it because I posed the question, getting Matt Barnes, especially once he finds his shot, getting Matt Barnes a little bit more of a look at the as a starter with this crew, it would hurt the bench offense a bit, but if you work the rotations a certain way, maybe a certain Jordan Adams, once he's healthy, gets in there a little bit more, maybe you offset that a little bit. But at Tony Allen at this point, I just can't shake the feeling that he might be more trick than treat. Am I premature in saying that?
No, because it's been like this, I honestly, more than just the playoffs last year. And every guy has an ego out there. I mean, you can't not have an ego in the NBA. You got to be very confident in yourself if you're going to make it to the highest level of basketball. But it's not – the guys should look in the mirror and say, it's not about who starts, it's about who finishes. Because the five guys that finish on the court means those are the five guys Coach Dave Yeager trusts the most to get the job done. And I think that's a spot that Tony needs to look at is, I can make my most impactful play closing the game. You know, he's on Steph Curry, he's on Klay Thompson, he's on, you know, James Harden when they're trying to get the ball to win the game, instead of having to worry about opening the game and guarding them. Because the Grizzlies have to score if they're going to keep up with the high-powered offenses in the Western Conference. I mean, that's the facts.
And the scoring has not been easy for Tony Allen at this point. Again, if you're looking at – and please, save your angry tweets and messages. I understand it's a five-game sample size. But at the same time, you're looking at shooting percentages from Tony Allen – he is shooting 37.5% from the field right now. He is shooting way too many threes for my liking. This is Tony Allen right now. He's attempting 2.4 threes a game, Ben. 2.4 three-point shots a game if you're looking at his overall per 100 possessions, his actual numbers per game in terms of just shooting. He's at one. But the fact is,
right,
people clamor for Tony Allen being a guy who can start and play these big minutes. But if you use these small sample size numbers, this is a guy who's just going to continue to kill your offense. He needs to find ways, and I wrote about this in the Golden State, he has to find ways consistently to be at the least an offensive neutral guy. And he just might not have the tools to be able to do it at this point in his career.
Well, right now everybody's struggling with their jump shot, and
absolutely,
you know, it's tough when you have guys that are supposed to be knocking down the shots like a Courtney Lee, and then you have another guy out there that Tony Allen, he has a history of not being able to make jump shots, so it's kind of hampering. You're already struggling, and it's not helping having a guy out there that can't even, you know, that can't knock down a jump shot. I love Tony Allen. Don't get me wrong. I think he's, you know, one of the hardest working players out there. I just think he's more valuable on the defensive end. And you can use him in spots to where you can get the most out of him, where you can have his energy for the end of the game. You know, he can come in with the second unit and make an impact. And, you know, it's tough. And Memphis as a city, they love their Grizzlies. They love Tony Allen. They love Zach. They love Mark. They love Mike. But they also have a huge amount of pride for themselves. And if they're getting beat by 20, 30 points every time they go out and lose, that's something that's going to hit home. You know, they got an awful lot amount of pride for them, and they're not going to stand for it, and they're going to ask for change. And eventually, you know, the change may be Tony Allen coming out of the starting lineup.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am Matty B, and we are talking to Ben Hogan, the producer of the Eric Hasseltine Show. Ben, I wanted to talk to you about one of the things from earlier in the from the preseason, which is about the rotations that Coach Yeager has been using for the team so far. No Jordan Adams so far, but maybe that's covered by some injury. Very limited Vince Carter during the season so far. Are there any kind of rotation decisions that they're making that has been surprising or concerning for you?
The fact that, you know, you start the game off so small, and the four guys besides Benno coming off your bench are forwards. You got Jeff Green, you got Jermichael Green, you got Brandon Wright, you got Matt Barnes. You know, all four of them are forwards, and you're starting the game off with three guards. It's just it you got to balance it out some way. And that's where the benching of Tony Allen maybe come into play, where if you want to go a little bigger to where you have, you know, even a number of guards coming off the bench as well. But right now it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're kind of right about that. And it's also been kind of interesting. The lack of Jordan Adams, maybe Jordan Adams has been more a part of their or something that they were planning on doing, since you talked about so many forwards that have been in there. And you also mentioned earlier about Jermichael Green kind of coming in there. That's another forward. What about the point guard rotation? We've seen Benno play so far. He's been all right. They seem to have completely abandoned Russ Smith so far. What do you think about the point guard play so far during the season?
I think you should give Russ Smith a little more run, see what he has. I mean, you saw him last year a little bit. You saw him during the summer league. You saw him in the off season. I mean, not the off season, but in the preseason. I just think you need to do a little bit more with Russ Smith. Because, I mean, if you're looking to trade for another point guard, you kind of need to see what you have at home first. I mean, it's five games in the season. You can try to at least find that out before you trade for another point guard.
This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Monax. The voice that you just heard before mine was that of Ben Hogan, producer of the Eric Hasseltine Show over at 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Make sure that you're following him on Twitter. If you do not already, do so at Not the Golfer. And Ben, the week ahead for these Grizzlies, again, if this is how the season is going to be, we're all going to be exhausted by Christmas because of the up and down, left and right. It really is like a roller coaster watching this team right now, trying to figure out their identity. Obviously, the Marc Gasol injury throws a wrinkle into things if he is not able to go against Portland. He's questionable as of now, which essentially means 50-50 shot. And as we talked about earlier, if you followed the team, especially in this grit and grind era, and you followed Marc Gasol, if he can play, he's going to play. How effective he'll be, I think that's a fair question. But anyway, the schedule ahead between now and the next time that we're on the Blog Talk Radio Airways for an episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, we return to our traditional Thursday slot, Thursday, November 12th. We've got four games between now and then. They are at Portland Thursday night. That's a game on TNT, so a national game for Memphis. Then they have another quote-unquote national game on NBA TV against the Utah Jazz on Saturday night. That is in Utah. They play the Clippers on Monday in Los Angeles, and then Golden State, the Warriors, Steph Curry and company grace the Grizzlies in Memphis with their presence on Veterans Day, Wednesday night. So four games between now and then, Ben, no back-to-backs, which is good for this veteran roster. Chance to kind of get their feet under them. Anything in particular jump out at you in these next four games? Anything to watch for?
Well, first off, if you have a TV and you have NBA League Pass, go sit in front of it as soon as you're done listening to this Grizzly Bear Blues, because those four teams play each other tonight. Portland plays Utah. Golden State plays the Clippers. You can watch all four of these teams in two games, and you can do that tonight. You can kind of get a feel for what all four of these teams have. And like you said earlier, I heard you talking about if Marc Gasol can sit tomorrow night, by all means, just sit, big fella, because I think the Grizzlies, they know what Portland is. They're the same, it's a very similar Portland team without LaMarcus Aldridge. They play in the playoffs. I mean, they got McCollum, they got Lillard, they got Myers Leonard. You know, they did bring in Ed Davis, but, I mean, they have guys that they saw against last year, and they're able to handle them pretty easily. I think they'll be able to take care of Portland, especially coming off a back-to-back, second game of back-to-back for Portland. I think they can take care of them. Utah, a little worried about, because that's also – Utah's a tough team. The Grizzlies had trouble with them last year, and they had a heck of a defensive second half of the season last year, Utah did. And there's also the danger of looking ahead to – hated Clippers as well as Golden State at home, and it could be kind of a trap game in which they fall prey to, and I'm a little worried about that.
Getting into Utah, that's one that I'm worried about as well there, Ben. I think that they'll beat Portland even without Marc Gasol. They're kind of in a rebuilding spot. It's going to be interesting to see. McCollum is having a hell of a season. He was one of those sleepers that a lot of folks who follow the NBA kind of saw coming, especially if you watched C.J. McCollum play against the Grizzlies in that playoff matchup last season. He was one of their best players on the court, including Damian Lillard. So the fact that he's balling out is not overly surprising to those who follow the league closely. I think Memphis can take Portland. I think Utah is a trap game, especially since they have two such big games coming after that in terms of name recognition, in terms of it not becoming a mental thing. And that's what's worried about the Clippers game and then the Warriors on Veterans Day. The concern is this becoming a mental block. If they go and get blown out by 20 or so by the Clippers, if the Warriors show up in Memphis and beat them by 20 or so, then it becomes a mental thing. Then it gets into your head. Maybe you start to have even more self-doubt. It starts to creep up into your soul, Ben. Maybe you just can't hang with these guys. And you follow the team as close as anybody. You're there at the Forum almost every home game. You understand how important mental toughness and confidence is at any level of sports, much less the highest level in professional sports. If you have anything that can really kind of shake you in terms of your confidence, and two more blowout losses to those teams would do it, that can really become a long-term issue, even more so than an injury. It can become a mental injury that would affect you even more than any physical injury could.
Yeah, and it would also, I think, also bring a little negative energy or a little, I guess, worried energy into the Forum. And, you know, they feed off the crowd. And if the crowd is, like, you know, kind of nervous the whole time, you know, especially this early season schedule is brutal. And if they fall prey to the mental hurdle of, hey, we just can't hang with these guys, they could very well be looking at the end of November, you know, 4, 5, 6 games under 500. Because after Golden State, they do get Portland at home, but they're at Minnesota. And they come back home and get Oklahoma City, Houston, at San Antonio, against Dallas, back at Houston, then against the Hawks before they close out November with Philadelphia. You look at those games, how many of those games can you say, hey, we're definitely going to win those, even if we get blown out by the teams like Los Angeles or Golden State? Maybe Portland and Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Maybe? I mean, you just can't fall into that trap. You got to stay confident. And you just got to go out there and compete. I think they can. And again, it's 5 games. They're 3-2. It's not the end of the world. They've been able to bounce back from tough losses. I mean, they lost by 50 one night and go out and beat Sacramento by 14 the next night. That's mental toughness right there. There's a bunch of veterans. I don't think it's going to creep in. These aren't a bunch of young guys out there. They've all been there before. I think that's one of the main things the Grizzlies have going for them, is they got plenty of veteran experience of guys that have lost. They have guys that have been there and lost 50 games in a season. They have guys that have been through it. I just don't know. None of them have lost by 50 points. And to see them come back and win the next night, I think that says a lot.
I would agree with that. I think that their mental toughness is one of the things that you can't question. I do think that they have to compete in those games. I think you go 2-2, and I'll ask you here real quick, Ben, in a moment, what you think a successful run these next four would be. I think 2-2 is a success. I think if you can find a way to beat Portland, if you can find a way to pick off Utah or the Clippers, that's a rivalry game. I think Memphis can compete there, possibly win there. Golden State, anybody who picks Memphis to beat Golden State at this point is, I don't want to say delusional, but whatever a level below delusional is, severely optimistic might be the polite way to say it. 2-2 in this stretch, that puts you at 5-4. And again, my goal for these first 18 games through November, Ben, that stretch that you just talked about, my goal was 10-8. And 5-4 puts you on pace at that 10-8, literally right on the line of it. And I think they'll go 2-2. I think they'll be 5-4 heading into our next program.
I agree with you. I think 2-2 is what they need to be, what they need to do. I think that's what they're going to do. If they go 2-2, I'm guessing Golden State's the loss. And I hate to go ahead and chalk one up as a loss. You really can't ever do that because, you know, it's 82 games, anything can happen. But 2-2, that means you went 3-2 on that West Coast road trip. And, you know, I think that's successful West Coast road trip that early in the season. Exactly what it is.
I agree 100%. It's about keeping your head above water these first 18 to 25 games. And I think, again, and you made a great point there, Ben, and I agree with it. This is a veteran team that's going to be able to do just that and really kind of turn on the Jets when necessary. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Always gracious with your time. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Ben Hogan, the producer of the Eric Hasseltine Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN Memphis. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you do not already do so, @NotTheGolfer. It's closing time here on another episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined right now as we finish up the show by my producer, Mr. Matt Bishop, a.k.a. Matty B., a.k.a. the Zenguin. The Zenguin, am I saying that properly?
Zenguin, that's right.
The Zenguin, excuse me. Like Penguin, Zenguin, duh. All right,
Zenguin, hey.
Joined by the Zenguin, Matty B., and we're going to use some of your prophecy here, oh great Zenguin, and kind of look towards what Ben and I just talked about. We talked about the idea they have Portland, Thursday night TNT game, NBA TV Saturday night against the Utah Jazz. Monday night, they're at L.A. playing the Clippers. And then Wednesday, the dreaded Golden State Warriors come to Memphis, and Steph Curry will probably try to hang a 52-point win on Memphis. Hopefully they can avoid that. We said 2-2. That puts the team at 5-4, which would directly put them on pace for the 10-8 that I predicted at the beginning of the year. How do you see the next four games before we're back on the Blog Talk Radio Airways Live playing out, Matty?
Well, last week I was I said that they go 4-1, so I did miss that by one. I thought that they lose to Golden State. I didn't realize they would come out and just get bombed on opening night. But this, I think 2-2. I would like to be optimistic and say 3-1, but I just can't go there. I think that they beat Portland. This is all. By the way, all of my picks are completely dependent on whether Marc Gasol plays. Because if Marc Gasol plays, it's a different kind of ball game. And I know they played well against Sacramento Tuesday night without Marc Gasol. But this is all depending if Marc plays most of these games. It doesn't seem like he's going to play Thursday. But I still think that they beat Portland. Utah, to me, is tough. Utah on a Saturday night. Who wouldn't want to spend a Saturday night in Salt Lake City? It just seems awesome. If there's a place for a surprise loss, I think that's it. They struggle with Utah. If they struggle with offense, I think that they struggle in that one. And then it's hate night on Monday night, which is one of my favorite games in the whole world is the Clippers. I think that they beat the Clippers in that one. But like Ben Hogan said, if they come out and just get bombed, and they kind of roll over like they have, like they did against Golden State, then maybe that's something totally different. But I think that they beat the Clippers, especially if everybody's playing. That's a couple of games to kind of work their way up against teams that may not be as good as them, but we'll find out. And then Golden State on Wednesday, the inner optimist, the Zen of my Zenguin, says that I'd like to think that they can put it together and kind of put a competitive game. And you know what? They can be really competitive and still lose to Golden State by 20, which is kind of sad. I don't mean to be that much of a Debbie Downer this early in the season. But so I think 2-2 is probably right on the nose, even though I think that they could beat the Clippers and probably lose one of the other games instead.
2-2 is where I'm at. I think that they'll find a way to pull out the Utah game. I think that they'll probably lose to the Clippers and to the Warriors. I just see them at a point right now in this season where they are able to beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and they've done it pretty convincingly. The lowest amount win was 9 points, so it's going to be challenging. I don't think they're going to blow out either Portland or Utah, especially both of them. I mean, there's a little bit of history now between the Grizzlies and the Trailblazers, and then you also have Utah, which you correctly pointed out. Memphis always seems to struggle there. I think that they'll find a way to beat the teams they're supposed to, and then they'll get beat probably pretty solidly by the two teams that they want to be considered among. And that will become the storyline early in this season, is how scary is that? Because if you believe that Memphis was going to regress a little bit, if you believe that the sixth seed was their ceiling, which some people do, if you believe that the seven or eight seed is realistic, they'll fight for their playoff lives, then they're going to be right where they should be, in theory, if you subscribe to that line of thinking. If you think that they are belonging among those elite teams, well, then now you're starting to pee down your leg a little bit, because you're seeing them get destroyed by Cleveland, Golden State possibly twice, the Clippers. These are teams that you have to get through at least one of them, probably two of them or more, to get to your goal of an NBA championship, and maybe that will begin to slowly and slowly even more slip away. For some people, it's already gone. We try to be optimistic at GBB, especially here on the show. It's possible, and this team still has plenty of time to figure it out. It's a small sample size. Whether you're positive with the three wins or really down on the two losses, it was hard to not be down after the big loss to Golden State. But it's only five games, and it's only one game. No matter how many points you lose by, it still counts as one loss in the loss column. And as Ben correctly pointed out, they came out the next night, beat Sacramento the way they're supposed to, and now they're 3-2, looking ahead at the end of their West Coast swing. Make sure that you're tuning in Thursday, November 12th, ladies and gentlemen. GBB Live will return to its normal Thursday recording live time at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Make sure that you're checking us out then. We will be putting out information about guests and all of that fun stuff in the coming days. Make sure that you're subscribing to the show on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Help us out. Continue to get the good news and the good word of GBB Live out there. We appreciate any and all feedback on the show, as well as any interaction that you'd like to give. So again, at GBB Live on Twitter, follow us. Whether you listen live to the show and you want to give us a shout out, or if you have a question about something we discussed, or if you're listening to the archived version of the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, on the site itself, where I post a show recap every the day after any recorded show. Anywhere you want to give us a shout, please do so. We want you to be a part interactively of the Grizzly Bear Blues Live experience. We look forward to being back on these Blog Talk Radio airwaves Thursday, November 12th, with a brand new show. This team will look a little bit more what we think they are. Again, Christmas is the line for me. We'll see where they're at Christmas, and that's really where you have an idea of what you've got as a squad. It's going to be interesting to see how this next week plays out, however, especially the finish to this West Coast road trip. Thank you so much to my producer, Matt Bishop, Mr. Matty B. Thank you so much to the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Mr. Chris Faulkner, for his work in the Grizzly Bear News segment in the first part of our show. Thank you to Chip Williams and Ben Hogan, our guests this evening. And most importantly, thank you to you, our listeners out there. However you're enjoying the content, however you are taking in Grizzly Bear Blues Live, it is appreciated beyond measure. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything that folks do for the show, do for the site. Make sure you continue to frequent GrizzlyBearBlues.com as we are now getting into the nitty-gritty of the 2015-2016 campaign. That's all for me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for listening. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and this has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.